We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, welcome back as we get set for Thursday night's draft, NBA draft. Of course, Cavaliers sitting with the fifth pick. We are certainly all curious where the Cavs may go. Let's head out to the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. One of the best in the business, he is Seth Davis, CBS college basketball analyst. Seth, before we get to the all the draft stuff, and there's plenty to get to, obviously the big news of the weekend was the trade involving Anthony Davis going to the Lakers. The Lakers had been coveting him for a while. They finally get that done. The Pelicans get number four back in that draft. Just your quick assessment on that.
Well, I think it's a win-win, and only because Anthony Davis has made clear that he doesn't want to stay in New Orleans. So they could leave him there, I guess, for another year, but then you lose him and you don't get anything back. But clearly it's not a win for New Orleans to have to part with a player of his caliber. I mean, these guys just don't grow on trees. And I look at what the Toronto Raptors just did with their roster. You know, they have an all-world player in Kawhi Leonard, you know, a really good all-star caliber player in Kyle Lowry. And then, you know, after that, it's a lot of guys just playing their roles really well, and they just won an NBA championship. So when you have a chance to get a player of the caliber of a Kawhi Leonard or an Anthony Davis, and I think especially in the case of the Lakers, where you have LeBron James, and he's got, you know, maybe two or three years left to really produce at a high level, you would think. And so I think you have that sense of urgency to get someone of Davis's qualities. So, I mean, obviously, you know, people sort of focus on all that they gave up for him, but obviously if you're going to get Anthony Davis, you're going to have to give up a lot, but you certainly didn't give up anybody of that caliber. So those two guys being on the same team, now it's incumbent on the Lakers to fill in the gaps, but you can't win a championship without players like Kawhi Leonard and Anthony Davis. So I think the Lakers made out great.
Seth, if you're sitting in David Griffin's seat right now, obviously you got that number one pick. I think we know where that one's going to go. But as far as four is concerned, do you see him shopping that, actively shopping that? If he stays at four, who you think they might be looking at?
Well, I would certainly recommend that he shop it, because I think this is a pretty weak draft. I mean, really after the top, I would argue the top two, some might say, you know, 2A with R.J. Barrett. But I think after you get past those three, there's a significant drop off. I mean, a lot of people love Darius Garland. He's a guard that's been projected to go to that spot, but the guy played four college games, and it's not like he's some freak that everybody can get like super excited about. I mean, and people use the Kyrie Irving comparison, but you know, Kyrie played nine games and Duke had a couple of really big games early. He showed you enough, and still there were questions about him coming out as number one pick. So I'm actually quite surprised at the enthusiasm for Darius Garland. But, you know, I think between him and Kobe White, or do you try to go a little bit more dependable, but maybe less spectacular with the DeAndre Hunter or Jared Culver? But it's a pretty significant – this is one of the worst drafts we've seen in a long time. You know, I talked to a lot of NBA scouts over the last couple of weeks, and they'll tell you, you know, a player that you're going to get at 10 versus a player that you're going to get at 30, there's really not there's a lot of guesswork. Mm. There's guesswork every year, but there's a lot more this year is what I'm saying.
Right. As far as the Cavaliers at five and going off what you just said there, you mentioned two guys that I think have garnered quite a bit of conversation here in Cleveland in regards to Jared Culver, Texas Tech, and DeAndre Hunter from Virginia. Also recently, last couple of days, Darius Garland has also been in many conversations. I look at the Cavaliers, Seth, and I just think this is a team, certainly, you know, I don't know if you pigeonhole as far as looking at a position per se, but you just want talent. But in particular, you mentioned Kawhi, you mentioned Anthony Davis, and I know that guy's not there, but in terms of a two-way player, man, Culver and DeAndre Hunter really stand out in that regard to me. What do you think?
Yeah, I would agree. I'm a big Coby White fan, a point guard from North Carolina. I mean, he's got great size on him at 6'5". He's an absolute jet with the ball. Really can score it. Really can shoot it. I think he's a taller version of Kemba Walker. I really think that highly of him. So I think he's definitely in the mix for Cleveland at that pick. I mean, look, obviously Cleveland needs everything, right? So I don't think they're drafting by position. There's no obvious pick there. Well, the best player available. I mean, like I said, I mean, there's probably six or seven names in there that you could argue are the best player available. So it's a guessing game. It's the eye of the beholder. And I think you want to draft for culture. And I think all these guys that we're talking about will be great for Cleveland's culture. I mean, I think really the biggest wild card in this draft is Bol Bol. You know, to me, if you don't feel like you're going to get somebody really special that you have to take at 4 or 5, you know, why not shoot for the moon and get a guy? I mean, here's a guy in Bol Bol who's 7'2". He can dribble, pass, and shoot. He can shoot three-pointers. He's had some health issues. He's had some maturity issues. Obviously, he's just a young kid, having just completed his freshman year at Oregon, and he didn't play because he got hurt. So, you know, you want to do your due diligence on the medicals. But, you know, why not take a chance on him? You know, Jackson Hayes, the big center from Texas, is the other one who comes to mind. Is a late bloomer, a very, very, very high ceiling that if he reaches that, you could be talking about a multi-year All-Star. I think those are the two wild cards in the first round.
Seth, you're certainly very much familiar with John Beilein, who the Cavaliers recently hired as their head coach. And I think most of us here in Cleveland are pretty excited about the hire. In terms of a particular player, and I know this is completely different from, you know, West Virginia or Michigan. Now it's the NBA in terms of maybe what you're looking for and different stuff. But who do you see as somebody that would be a quote-unquote John Beilein type of guy? Is there that guy in this draft?
Zion Williamson. every guy
yes,
he John
fits.
Beilein would say, I think it'd work with him. You know, and I love John Morant. I could actually almost make a case for Morant going number one. I wouldn't do it, but I think I could make that case. And like I said, I think beyond that, it's very much eye of the beholder. And I think that John is really going to build a great culture in Cleveland. I'm a big culture guy. And I think it's been a little bit up and down with the owner, with the Cavs. And it really starts with the owner. I mean, again, look at the Lakers and what's happened to that franchise over the last year when you bring in, you know, maybe the greatest player of all time, I would argue, with LeBron. And it was an absolute disaster as opposed to what's going on across the town with Steve Ballmer. And how he runs the Clippers, and even though, you know, they went out in the first round, look at the season they had, the culture they're building. I think they're going to do really well in free agency. So I think, to me, look, an NBA head coach is obviously a lot different than a college head coach. You're only a cog in the wheel, and in a lot of respects, not an all that important one. But to the degree that you can set a tone, you can establish a culture of teamwork and a certain way to operate. I think John's going to be great at that, of and a part of what a great basketball coach he is. I mean, you hired a great man first, and, you know, no one's going to be able to X and O better than he will. So I think he's going to have a lot of knowledge that he can add. And I think having him in the room, having him talk to GMs and players and agents and everybody in between is just going to be great for that organization.
NBA draft coming up this Thursday night. We're talking to Seth Davis, CBS Sports College basketball analyst here, Bull and Fox on Sports Radio 92.3 The Fan. Okay, you kind of led me where I wanted to go there. You mentioned culture, and talk to me about Cam Reddish, because I'm guessing that he's one of these guys coming out of Duke. As far as the talent, as far as the raw skills and body and all that stuff, like, you know, I'm sure scouts are salivating over him, but then you have some concerned about how does he mysteriously miss a game, Sweet 16 game, and is he a guy that really wants to work hard? Does he love the game of basketball? I think you've got it on both sides. So if you're talking about a team like Cleveland that is desperately trying to change culture and build a solid culture with John Beilein, are there questions about Cam Reddish in that regard?
A lot of questions about Cam Reddish. And to me, I'm not that bright, right? I keep things very simple. And to me, it's just, you know, we'll just watch him play. And I don't want to disparage anybody's character. I don't know the kid. I don't know his family at all. it's very, very difficult to come into a situation like Duke, you know, big reputation coming out of high school, and you know, all eyes on you. Every mistake, every setback, every bad decision just gets magnified. I'm just saying, if you watched him play this season, you'd have a hard time explaining to me why he'd be considered a good NBA prospect. You know, he kind of looks the part when he's walking through the airport, but they don't play NBA games in an airport. And I think that he's a great example of someone who I think is making a mistake by going into the NBA draft. But he's going to be drafted high, and so the logic is, well, why? You know, he might go back to Duke, have another bad year, and not even get drafted, whereas he's being projected as a lottery pick now. But to me, it's like, okay, so he's projected as a lottery pick. He's going to have a great night Thursday night. What about Friday morning? Like, his challenge is all these kids, their challenge comes Friday morning. So, you know, I hope he does well. I think he really struggled being, you know, the third or fourth wheel after, you know, spending a lot of years being the top dog in high school. But, you know, there's something going on with his shooting where his percentages just did not reflect what you thought he was capable of doing. So I certainly wish him well, but I can tell you right now, and I hope I'm wrong, that there are a lot of players in this draft who are projected to be picked well behind him, who I would pick ahead of Cam Reddish right now.
Seth, we saw Texas Tech and Virginia go at it, obviously, in the NCAA tournament, and that meant, of course, Jared Culver and DeAndre Hunter. Already talked about Culver a little bit. Can you kind of compare and contrast the two, and what does one bring that maybe the other doesn't? Hunter's a guy that's also being talked about for the Cavaliers, possibly at five.
Yeah, I love Hunter at five. I mean, I think that I would lean towards Hunter on a couple of levels. I think they're very similar. Hunter's a little bit bigger, a little bit longer. I think he's the better athlete. Jared Culver is an athlete. I think Jared Culver, to me, you know, I did this draft column today on The Athletic where I talked to all these NBA scouts, and someone said, you know, the fact that Jared Culver is going to be like the worst compliment ever, the fact that he's being projected so high is a reflection of how weak this draft is. I look at Jared Culver as a guy who potentially could be, you know, a really, really good college player, outstanding college player, but whose skills might not quite translate to the NBA. At that position, on the wing position, you better either be a great defender or a really, really good outside shooter. Neither of those guys are, you know, what you would call a laser from three-point range. But, you know, Hunter, to me, has a little bit more upside in that regard. But, again, two culture guys. You know, Jared Culver in particular was not a highly rated recruit coming out of high school, stayed close to home, grew up quite near Texas Tech, and, you know, brought them to a brink of a championship with his leadership and his toughness and his work ethic. I mean, he's one of those guys who just loves to be in the gym. So you can't go wrong with either guy. I would lean towards Hunter, but I would say both those guys have been playing in the NBA for a long time because they're going to figure it out.
Seth, we'll get you out of here with this. Always appreciate the time again. Great Seth Davis with CBS Sports College Basketball. Okay, if it is a point guard at five, and we're seeing more and more of, you know, that being talked about as far as the Cavaliers, Colin Sexton is a great, you know, great off guard. He's not a guy that necessarily is going to facilitate defense, a little bit in question. Who do you think? I know you mentioned you like Coby White, and obviously you already talked about Garland. Who do you think best fits in with him? And I guess just today's NBA. And by that, I also want to include defense, because it seems like anymore we're looking at the scoring point guard, but I want a guy that's going to be able to D up as well and be a good on-ball defender. Is that your guy, Coby White?
Well, again, to me, it's just hard to gauge on Garland. That's why I'm just surprised that everyone's so enthusiastic about him based on the limited data points, you know. I like Coby White, and I like the idea of playing. I think this notion of, well, we have a point guard, so now we need. I think you can play two point guards together. They can both score the ball. I think Coby White has a real knack for playing basketball. Just exceptionally quick. He's big at 6'5", so he's, you know, bigger than Darius Garland, and he's done under the bright lights of North Carolina. And I was very impressed. You know, Coby White is the leading scorer in the history of high schools in North Carolina. We had some pretty good players come through that state. And so at the start of the year, Roy Williams hands him the ball, and I've always thought it's one of the toughest things in sports for someone who's a scoring point guard to decide, you know, when do I set up my guys and when do I try to get my own. And I wondered how Coby White, because early in the year you could see him, and of course Roy Williams plays that up-tempo style, so everything was, you know, pedal to the metal, and it was like, well, you know, they'll be able to change speed. It's a tough position. And I was very impressed with his progress in that regard. As the year went on, he understood how to play more, took his foot off the gas, making decisions about, you know, setting up players and, you know, scoring his own. So, you know, he's young. You know, both these guys coming off their freshman year. So I would lean towards Coby White, largely because I've seen a lot more of him. I could be totally wrong about this if Garland, you know, blows up in the future. But, you know, given the way things have gone in Cleveland, I think either one of those guys, I would not be one to close off either one because, well, I already have a point guard and they're both point guard. You can play two point guards together. In fact, you almost have to, especially if they can shoot it.
Zion Williamson's the only one worthy of the Sharpie, right?
I just think you can Sharpie him right now and then everything. I think Ja's pretty safe at number two, by the way. He is absolutely sensational. John Morant is going to be a great multi-year all-star, Damian Lillard caliber NBA point guard. So those two, Sharpie and everything else is a guessing game, which is as it should be.
Seth, appreciate the time as always. Looking forward to the draft coming up on Thursday. Keep up the great work. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks for having me. Good luck, Cleveland.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.